And welcome to the next iteration of Behind the Beer WNC. The saga continues as we enter into another week of high school football. Lewis and Mike Anderson are here. Carson Jones, Derek Green, and myself, Pat Pohl, a podcast where the five of us get together, banter about high school football, but it can go off the rails at any time, and we can go down any number of subjects. So buckle up. We hope you're entertained. We do this for our entertainment, so hopefully you're entertained as well. Gentlemen, another exciting week of football, both on the high school level and the college level, I would say.
Yeah, it's been a good weekend.
I'm just excited Carson showed up this week.
Absolutely.
The kid is back, and I'm back by physically back, not with the picks. The bounce back, Mike described it. My bounce back with the picks was actually, what was it, Mike? A bounce?
It was a bounce out of the end zone for a safety.
Yep. Yep. So that was.
He didn't even score as much as a safety, though.
But
wow.
Okay. All right. Let's get on with the show.
So you want to share with the listeners why you didn't show up last week? What'd you have that was so important you couldn't do the podcast?
I did actually have. I'm one of the few that work at this table. I did actually have work, and I had to be in Charlotte. And I was not down scouting any high school football or anything like that.
How many rounds of golf?
I did not take the clubs, which was...
Oh, you rented some?
No.
I feel like that's a lie.
No. So I was down there. I hated that I missed it. I'm going to blame that since I was not in person seeing your guys' faces, I would have changed a lot of my picks. So I would have went 8-1. But unfortunately...
Did Pat read it backwards?
I think... I texted Mike the picks, and... I'm going to blame it on Mike because I did not pick those.
Yeah.
Hang on just a second. We have a clip. I think Pat figured out what happened on the picks.
Carson is also picking Shelby, but again, he does not share why.
He should have wrote a paragraph for each, don't you think?
I think what he did is he put all these names in a hat and then he picked them out randomly.
Is that what happened, Carson?
Yeah, so was it the first week? I thought I knew the spreads, and I would like to update everybody. I do not know how the spreads work, so please reach out to me and let me know how they work, because I do not know.
You said this week one.
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
Yeah. That's when you say stuff, and when it goes on the internet, it's there forever. So
forever.
Yeah, but no, we're looking. It's a long. How many weeks do we have?
Yeah, this is week. Two. Three coming
this
out.
Is
yeah,
week three, but how many weeks are in this high school football season?
It was until the beginning of November.
Yeah. There's 11, yeah.
There's 11 weeks.
If we go all the way through the championship like we did last year, how many weeks is that?
It'd be like
15? 16.
16.
Because didn't Coach Law say you have to win? How many games do you have to win?
It was like a whole other season.
Half a season or something.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so. But no, guys, Pat said it best. High school football is well underway. College football, we got the tease of week zero out of the way. We had everybody's team. Derek's walked in today glowing. It looks like Alabama still is Alabama.
They are.
So, you know.
Well, I mean, it takes a couple years for the Saban effect to go down, right?
Those are still his guys.
Yeah, still his guys.
So you shouldn't expect that big of a drop.
I don't know. Guys change every year these days.
Boy, they do.
They do.
Half of them hit the portal. I think they had like 43.
Was anybody shocked that Miami did that to Florida?
No. Florida sucks.
Yeah, but Miami, I mean, you've always heard, Miami's the U's back.
Oh, you got Mr. Florida State over here.
You do. Boston College, big game tonight. Do you think they can
Got to have a lot better quarterback play tonight.
Does Florida State cover 16.5?
No, I didn't bet them.
Okay.
a lot of faith from Lewis.
Did you watch their quarterback last week?
You know, DJ's on his
third school
in as many years, so... I think the common denominator is DJ. So
yeah,
if it looks like
that?
A duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And it probably came out of DJ's hand.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Speaking of the ducks.
How many times did he have a wide open guy and just miss him?
Too many to count.
Yeah, dude.
The Oregon Ducks didn't quack. They didn't. That was.
Ooh, I was pulling for the Vandals.
Yeah, that would have been one of the biggest upsets, I think, ever.
Would
that have been an App State Michigan type?
You know, some would say yes.
Yeah. Interesting. So,
hey, at least it wasn't Western Carolina almost beating the Wolfpack.
Maybe NC State. I was with a bunch of NC State fans this weekend, and everybody.
You know
just,
people that are NC State fans?
Yeah. Jack's older brother played in State.
Oh, that's right, so, Jack.
They admit it?
Yeah, they okay. do admit it. They said they were very, very mad at the game. But once they left the game, they slept. They woke up the next day. They were like, okay, we were looking ahead to Tennessee. So that's what they were doing, was looking ahead.
All I heard all offseason, this quarterback's so accurate, so accurate, mm-hmm. so accurate. He could throw it in the ocean.
No, that was tough. But Aiden White, still Christ School guy, still playing.
Still the real deal.
He's
going to be an NFL guy.
Yep. Definitely will play on Sundays. So.
And speaking of the NFL, we had our fantasy football draft too this past week. That Indeed. Was kind of fun.
I played Pat week one, and I hope he does not quit the league after week one. I cannot wait. I'll be posting some matchups, some stuff on the Instagram. So if you don't follow us, check us out on the Behind the Beard Instagram.
We had to have draft timeouts so we could, take a shot.
Yep.
Do you doubt my fantasy football ability, Carson?
No, I don't, Pat. I just...
He picked three kickers.
You did.
I did.
You got depth.
I got three kickers.
In that position.
And like four defenses.
That's the first time Pat's ever heard that.
Oh, man. Good times coming. So last week we talked NIL. Did you see Thursday they're going to have a vote on NIL for the North Carolina School Board.
I guess that's what a lawsuit will do for you.
Yeah. That didn't take long, did it?
Multi-million dollar lawsuit. Hey, maybe we should vote on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
It will be interesting to see how it goes.
I think, obviously it's going to pass, right? They're going to let players get money.
I don't know. I think it will. I don't know how you can.
So what's the, they have a vote, and then if they vote no, is that just maybe they can proceed with the lawsuit? And then...
I think they could proceed with the lawsuit anyway, because think about the money it cost them this year.
Already.
I would think anything they vote on is probably not going into effect right away. I don't know that for sure, but
it's probably
next year,
right?
I would think next year.
Yeah. And then
you've already
you
cost this kid a bunch of money.
If you vote it and you vote yes, like we're going to do it, that just validates that we've cost...
You were an idiot to begin with.
We were an idiot to begin with. Yeah. And we've probably cost some kids lots of money. Pat money.
Yeah, Pat money.
Agony.
So...
No, but speaking of the NIL, I obviously had a vested interest in the matchups that some of the SEC teams had in their first round. Like Eastern Kentucky walked down to Mississippi State and just got filleted.
They did not cover.
And then the other SEC teams also did that. They had a graphic up on during the Eastern Kentucky game of all the scores from some of those schools. And they were talking about just the disparity the NIL is already creating, with the SEC just loaded up and mowing the lawn down of all the lower teams.
So, but what was it Saban said about Ohio State?
If you don't pay the right guys, you're out of luck.
Yeah, that's what he said.
What a quote. Yeah. I mean,
did you guys watch him this last Saturday on game day?
He looked free and easy. Just breezy.
I loved it when McAfee was dancing up on him.
Oh, they just said there's two types of people.
Yeah. He's like Mr. Serious.
Right? Yeah.
He's shirtless, hugging up on the greatest college football coach of all time. And he's just enjoying it.
You mean Dabo Sweeney was there?
I'm just kidding. I think Dabo may be sealing his fate.
Yeah, I think he might be done very soon. So, good times. Did you... I just want to mention this. I know on here in the past, we've kind of hammered the Asheville Citizen Times, right? They almost no high school coverage last year. Well, they've been hammering out 4, 5, 6 articles a week now. And while I don't agree with everything they say, I certainly appreciate them putting some effort forth to putting this stuff out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, even if it's not the best material, at least they are putting forth an effort this year.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we, we'll be the first ones to tell you when... we'll speak our opinions, right, wrong, and different. And we've always been very outspoken on the ACT and whatnot. And when it's come to our attention that they're actively trying and putting forth effort, which we have been scrutinized for, and we've all said, if covering high school sports and bringing lights to these athletes is crazy, then we'll continue to be crazy.
I love a crazy podcast.
Yes. So shout out to the Asheville Citizen Times. You would imagine that the more they cover, the better the information may get.
Sure.
What you would think. No, unfortunately, that has not been the case with me.
Not with your picks.
Not with my picks.
Oh, man.
Where are we standing? Are you going to go over the standings of where we all are after we've basically thrown Carson under the bus here?
We can do that. Yeah. We can do that. Just to wrap up the ACT conversation, I don't know if you guys read the Judah Dayton article.
Mm-mm. No, not yet.
Oh, wow. You got to read it.
Yeah.
So ACT put out an article. Am I saying, is that the right?
Yes.
Judah Dayton. his dad, the basically in the article, he has cancer. The dad does.
Oh, I did read this. You sent it out to you.
Yeah. He's just trying to make it to senior night.
Listeners of the show. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, man. We love you guys. I mean, instantly I read that, I'm like, I'm an Irwin fan.
Yeah,
now.
That's tough, right?
And that's the kind of stuff, you know, ACT puts out that can make a difference. Hate it for the family. Judah, a fantastic football player, and, you know, hope he continues to have a good year.
Agreed.
So, yeah, let's before we get into last week, let's do one other thing.
All right.
I got a clip I want to play from last week. Will you play the NIL clip?
You know, everybody doesn't like to play on TV because they think, oh, God, it's going to kill my gait and this and that and this and that. Well, I guarantee you, when you watched that game on Sunday, packed. Baylor school showed up and showed out because they all wanted to be on TV. And it's the same thing, you know, if a local station is covering. If it's a good game, high school football fans are going to want to go to the game.
So I played that. Derek said that last week, and I just wanted to, you know, no matter what Pat says, we are friends. And we text each other, I don't know, 500 or 600 times a day.
Yes.
In a group. And one of the things we started talking about was the live stream. And, you know, we just want to take a minute and talk about it. I do a lot of homework, and I saw that on the Far West football page for Robbinsville and those guys, they had a listing of the where you could watch the games. Franklin, free live stream. Murphy, free live stream. Swain, $4.99 a month live stream. And that got me thinking, you know, what are other schools charging? Christ School, we've said before, free. Asheville School, free. Kings Mountain, free on YouTube. A lot of folks doing the YouTube route. Yep. I don't know a lot about it. Christ School's opponent this week, free. A public school out of South Carolina. A lot of free live streams. And there's also some schools that are charging. I think Reynolds charging $100 a month or $200 a year to see their live stream. And I just want, you know, kind of get y'all's take on the live stream and how that's headed and what high school football and high school sports are going to look like with the live stream. And if you cut it off, kind of that whole thing.
Do we have any other numbers, like, for public schools? Because is most of the MAC teams using the huddle? And
I think a lot of the teams, Pat, you may know for sure, but I think a lot of the teams have switched. TC's coach told us he switched in our meeting.
There are several that either are switching or have switched already.
I think it's the more popular route because schools get more money from it through subscription.
Okay. Yeah, it's just interesting because what Derek said. I think that there's people – Christ School, they were the My 40 game last week, and if you went out there, I mean the
fantastic crowd.
Fantastic crowd. A lot of people in Lower Arden, a lot of people battled through traffic. But you just have to, I guess, and Pat can speak more on the business side of it, but you just have to find that line of like what's the intentions of it, how much money can you make from it, what, you know, could you make it free? And then you actually have more people expanding your brand, and that opens up other avenues of revenue and other maybe sponsors or whatnot. I mean, it's just I don't know a lot about this, so I don't have a whole lot of like.
Yeah, I think it's what do you want to get out of it? Do you want to, you know, provide a service to, you know, those folks that may not watch your game that, you know, are flipping through a YouTube channel and find your team and start watching it? Or do you have the approach of, okay, these people are going to pay a price. You know, we're going to try our best to set a fair price. And they're going to pay it because they love Robertson football or they love AC Reynolds football, Christ School football, whatever it is. It's what do you want to get out of it? And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. It's your intentions. What are your intentions? But, I mean, live streaming, I think, is here to stay.
Yep.
And to me, I think the more you can put yourself out there, the more opportunity for growth that you have, rather than approaching it like, okay, these people are going to do it because they're supporting their school. And I think as, you know, you expand, I think the attention and the eyeballs will draw more to your program. But, you know, it's to each his own and whatever you want to get out of it.
I definitely think live streaming is the future here. And I think in, you know, maybe the majority of cases, it's not someone that's coming to the game already. It's a grandparent. It's someone out of town. Now, do people around here subscribe? Absolutely. There's a lot of people that subscribe locally. But I think the majority of the users are like grandparents or like I'll be in Vegas for the Mount Heritage game. If I can find that on live stream, I'm definitely going to pay for it and watch it, right? So that's the situations I think live stream is amazing. In your case, several of your athletes are from another country.
Right, they're international.
Yeah, so their parents obviously need the live stream.
Pat, kind of, I know in the text thread you had an opinion. Sure, if you don't mind, share it.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think live stream's here to stay. I'm a big fan of it because you know, I get to do the announcing for it and I get a kick out of that. It's a lot of fun. You have an economic disparity in some points because the schools have to generate revenue in some way, right? So even if it was just with the old network plan, that was still $80 a month, $80 a year. And the revenue that was dictated by that was substantially smaller than what the percentage possibilities are with the new system. So the question then begs, does the live stream cannibalize your product attending live games and hurting the gate? I don't know. I don't know that the data is out there.
Or does it add to it with increased ad revenue? I mean, because you can put all those ads on there. You can do all these commercials. You can do whatever you want.
That's true.
That's another revenue source.
You have to walk a fine line because in order to sell advertising revenue, you have to have numbers to back it up that people are actually tuning in to see the advertisements. Mm-hmm. So you've got to walk that line, and I think that a lot of these schools are going to have to start figuring that out. Some people have already probably generated subscriber bases that have allowed the advertising to come in on their live streams that would therefore subsidize the overall price for the subscriber base. That may not be there in some other school's case yet, and they're having to go the other route first. I think you kind of see this model play out with Netflix and some of these other video streaming services where you're starting to see now they're going to more of an ad-based revenue model and having a discounted rate to your subscribers because they built up their audience and are able to offer that as an option. So then you can either choose to have ads or not have ads, and you're in your choice of streaming service that you wish to do. And I think that's all washing out right now as well.
So I know we mentioned, you know, the if you have a live stream, maybe it cannibalizes your audience. But we see in other sports, is it too big of a leap to say, hey, college football's on TV, but people still pack the place? I mean, is that too big of a jump? I mean, be honest with me here.
Yeah, I think just the established brands are a huge jump, you know, like now. For me, for example, like I really like Coach Josh Niblett, and anytime I can find, you know, Gainesville, Georgia's football on a live stream somewhere for free, I'm going to check it out because, you know, I think he does a great job. I like what he stands for, and he's a great football coach. So it's an established brand that you want to expand versus, you know, kind of a more localized. And I think, you know, in Western North Carolina specifically, the brands are just too small.
My question for you guys is, we all spend most Friday nights at a field. What would the price be for you guys to get the membership so that instead of just checking the score, just waiting for Pat to text back after 48 hours, 72 hours go by?
Nice.
What price would it be for you to be able to be at a game?
Well, I mean, when it was in FHS, it was $70, $80 a year. I subscribed every year.
The best part was everybody, at that time, everybody was on the same one.
Right.
So we bought the rental to live stream, but you could watch TC, you could watch, you couldn't watch Asheville, you couldn't watch Irwin, but you could watch a lot of the other schools in the area. So the key to me is everybody being on a similar platform.
So that it can kind of group it together.
So you can, group it together.
Yeah.
So it's definitely here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
Is 200 too much for me? Maybe not. But, I mean, if I could double that, I get NFL Sunday ticket. So,
yeah, but that's also subsidized by a whole lot more advertising.
Oh, definitely, for sure. Yeah,
so that, you know, that's why they don't mind as much if they have empty stands at those level schools because they know their broadcast rights more than supplements, whatever their ticket gate would be.
And I'm also on Mike's train over here. Like, if everyone's on the same platform, I don't think the price is an issue because I would watch several other games.
Yep. Does Owen have a live stream?
We do not.
Do not.
But 1A, 2A is pretty tough with the live stream, other than out west there.
Just saying. I just mentioned several.
Yeah, out west is pretty good, but around here, no.
Okay. All right. Wait. Anybody else have anything to add?
Well, now is this, you know, the economics will play out. I mean, the race to the bottom will also affect the live streaming audiences. Your point about the, you know, different competitors coming in. You've got these people that'll just show up at a game and start live streaming over Facebook, for crying out loud, and charge money for that. Anyway, all that will eventually drive to where you'll have one or two or maybe three people in the marketplace, probably across the country, and that'll take some time for it to wash out. As far as the Huddle live stream is concerned, it's an amazing product. Just from what I've been able to learn from it in the past month, what you're able to do with it and the quality you get, it's pretty great. The only downside I'm seeing to it right now is, for example, you know, Reynolds played Shelby this week. Shelby has the Huddle as well, but they did not have their game set up to live stream on their end. Hence, if you were a Reynolds fan logging in, you wouldn't be able to have seen the game Friday night, even though we were all set up accordingly right on our end. Each school has to opt to live stream their service out so that other schools can see it. And that could be something that needs to be bridged either through Huddle directly or some sort of...
Do you guys at Reynolds allow that for other teams?
Yeah, yeah. The way you do, when you build out the schedule, you put in, for example, AC Reynolds versus East Forsyth this week. Well, I don't just type E Forsyth in the scheduling. I actually have to find it and select it from a drop-down window. As soon as I do that and I build out the game and then hit the live stream button and that it's going to live stream, obviously it'll live stream for the Reynolds fans, but it will also broadcast out to the people subscribing to East Forsyth's Huddle, and they'll get the live stream feed. I don't know if it'll have it. It might just be the live stream feed. It could be the broadcast from Reynolds. So you may get that, the announcing that Chris and I do in our ads, but I don't know that yet, so I'm learning still.
I know Pat did a lot to champion the live stream back when we first kicked it off during COVID, and you know, him having a announcing background, broadcasting background was huge for Reynolds. It was huge. We were probably the only school that was doing live announcing, and I mean, it was pretty great.
Yeah, because when we would watch those other games and there was nobody talking, it's
hard
tough.
To watch.
It's tough.
Not for Derek, because it's like watching film. But for us normal people, we need somebody to tell us what's going on. But, all right, good stuff. So now we're ready to talk about last week. Are you ready? You want to know how the picks went, Lewis?
I definitely want to know.
All right. Should we start from the bottom or the top?
Let's go ahead and start from the top.
The top?
Let's save the best for last.
Pat and Mike, 5-4 this week. Derek and Lewis went 4-5. Carson Jones, 1-8.
Yes.
You guys want to be together. See, I'm different.
1-8.
I'd like to be an outlier.
You should probably flip it around, though.
That was the intent.
Let's do the 8-1.
That's the goal.
Oh, man. 1-8. How'd that feel?
Whew, tough.
Were you drinking when you made the picks?
That's why I've said from the beginning that I'm going to be the bookie. I never said that I was going to be the handicapper. I'm going to be the bookie. Okay, that's the house always wins, correct?
Indeed.
Okay.
You made sure of that this Friday for sure.
I sure did.
And so, I'm glad I was at least have a winning record this week. 5-4 isn't anything great to sneeze at, but I'll take a.
So overall, Mike's 13-5. Pat's 8-10. Derek and Lewis are 7-11, and Carson 5-13, killing it at 5-13.
Yep.
I wish we still had last year's clip. I am the football guru.
Oh yeah. If this was the sports book, you'd be getting trouble at home.
Oh, this would be very bad.
The units are down.
Yeah, units are down. That officially the panic button would have been hit because that would have. I think the bankroll would have been zero. So. It would have been like I would have had a couple last-stitch Hail Marys. And Derek's team, Bama, covering 30, whatever it was, 34.5. Oh. And I'm like, why? And like when I place the bet, you know, it's always it's like that rush. You're like nervous. And then when they're up 60-0, you're like, why didn't I just put everything on that? So, but no, it's we've got a lot of football left. We've got some great games this week. I expect more than one win this week. That's where I'm setting my bar at.
Can you go ahead and flip that? Because we're going to need that next week.
Please.
Can we let Carson go first this week so all of the rest of us can just pick the other team?
Yeah.
I would be fine with that if you guys would be willing to do it. I'd be fine with that.
Well, let's go over last week real quick. We'll start with the one that Carson got right. Carson, Pat, Mike, Derek all got this one right. North Buncombe 1-1 took on 0-0-2. North Buncombe was given 13.5, and they come away with a 32-12 victory. No stats. Lewis, you got anything you want to share?
Yeah, so, I mean, this game was a lot closer than what it appeared. This was a very good, heartfelt win for Owen as far as, like, in the locker room. Hey, we were in this game. We were competitive. But they did get tired at the end, and that's a theme you're probably going to hear a lot this year. The coach was talking about that, you know, not having fresh legs and all this to switch in and out. I mean, that is a good possibility in many games. But Owen come away from this game saying, hey, we can compete this year and just trust the system. And I will give it up to North Buncombe. They did have some fantastic runs, and that offensive line, some big guys, and they can move a little bit. Not taking anything away from them, but it was a good win for Owen in their locker room this week.
Good deal. So next up, Inca at Pisgah. Inca 1-1. Pisgah 1-1 now because Pisgah comes away with a 49-14 win. Pisgah not able to cover the 42.5. Pat Lewis, Mike Derrick got this one correct. Everybody but Carson.
That will also be a theme.
For Inca, they were led by quarterback Logan Trantham. He was 6 of 10 for 173, one touchdown, one interception. He also rushed it for 28 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver William Parham caught 5 of the 6 passes for 166 yards and a TD. For Pisgah, Aaron Clark, 9 of 10 for 164. Running back Landon Pope, 12 rushes for 81 yards and 3 TDs, while Jake Lowry caught 4 catches for 121 yards. And they were led on defense by Carter Browning, who had 12 tackles. Get right game for Pisgah. So it was the first Pisgah's first game in a fluke, or is Inca that bad? Anyone?
Inca's not that good. I will say that.
Okay.
They lost a lot of players from last year, yeah, and I don't think they had a lot returning. But it's one of those situations where you take your best athlete and you put him back there and see what he can do. So, what will they be like towards middle end of the season with all the hits, not having as much depth? I can't imagine Inca being very competitive this year.
They will not be competitive in the MAC.
No. Now, I think they definitely will win a game for sure in the MAC.
Maybe a couple.
Maybe a few, but
maybe we'll see.
They won't compete with the top three.
It's always a good race between the top three and the bottom three.
Yeah.
So next up, we had Hendersonville at West Henderson. Hendersonville was getting 27.5, and West Henderson wins 35-19. Only one person got this one, right? You know who it was?
I might have a good idea.
It was Lewis.
That's right.
No stats on this game, but I did see the West Henderson running back stat.
Zane McGraw had, I don't know how many times he rushed, but 185 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I think we talked about last year, Dimsdale?
Carson Dimsdale.
I mean, they had also had some athletes out on the outside, but they ran the ball last year for a lot of yards. And I think this year it's not looking like there's going to be much difference in the fact that they're going to be able to win the line of scrimmage, and they're going to lean on that run game and then hopefully open up some things for Cade as defenses come and pack the zone, pack the box and whatnot. But 3 touchdowns, 185 yards for Zane. He also had a big week in week 1 as well.
Indeed. So next up, not much of a game at all. Raven Gap came to take on Christ School. Christ School was getting 31.5. Things snowballed early, and Raven Gap wins 61-6. Best part of this game was the banana pudding brownies in the tailgate.
Amen. Those are good.
Shout out to Cassandra Burns. Those things were fantastic. The food, the tailgate, that was the fun.
The nice warm welcome you had to the officiating crew about welcome to high school sports was quite entertaining.
I did not yell at the officials other than one time.
I don't know if that's true. It was one time that they could hear you across the field.
Yeah. It was only one time. Literally,
the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
The bottom of the barrel.
That was
right
there. That was it.
Todd looks at me and goes, that's not Mike, is it? I was like, no.
That's definitely Mike.
I said, nope, that's someone else over there.
Here's the facts. I spent 90% of the game in the corner over there with Carson and Derek and Derek's wife and Todd. And I went to sit with Ange for a few minutes. I can't sit up there. I mean, I can't. I can't do it. I got to stay away.
Is that like anger level for being married or what? I mean, what really spurs it on when you're up there?
I just don't agree with some of the call.
There was the missed false start call that was rather entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, The guy in the middle clearly bounced up and down.
Oh, we had a great one. One of the Owen players false started, and the side judge blew the play dead and had to go talk to the white hat to make sure that it was false start. That's how well this guy knows the rules. So then he walked back to his position and threw the flag.
Indeed.
Oh, dude, it's getting so bad.
It is, and you know, it's hurtful to see because, you know, there's just not a lot of officials out there right now, and they're forcing these guys with not a whole lot of experience to go out there and call games on a Friday just to, you know, just for everybody to be able to play on a Friday
just
night.
To fill a spot.
Yeah.
And I've talked to some of these officials. They have to cover the Buncombe County games first with the best.
Yep.
So when I say bottom of the barrel, it's not a good term, but we get a lot of new guys that don't necessarily, they're not the top level we have.
Yeah, and they try and, you know, mix the crew to.
We had a senior white hat,
but they can't call the whole field.
Was it the guy that's 92 years old?
No,
we had him week one. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
A couple of stat leaders: Holtzclaw was 8 of 18 for 103, 3 interceptions. Cancel rushed it 12 for 36 times and a TD. Looked good on the TD run. I don't know what happened after that. Nico Andrews had 2 catches for 48 yards. Cooper Kirby had 11 tackles. And Zay Burns had 8 tackles, 3 for a loss. So, not fantastic.
No, but it was.
Raymond Gabb is fantastic.
It was
football team.
Yeah, I was going to say, seeing the team, and then when you can just sit there and just Google their roster and see which offers all these players have, it was Walker Bryson. It's a wide receiver. He's listed as wide receiver safety, but really a slot receiver. And you look at some of the, you don't really see a lot of 5'10", 5'11", white receivers that have Miami offers, Tennessee offers and stuff. And, you know, when you see 4.46 laser time, 4.46 is very fast in person. When you're right there on the sideline, they were very big on the line of scrimmage. Them versus Providence Day is going
to
be an awesome game.
Where does Raven Gap fall? Like, if they were to play a D-level college, you think they're like, they can beat a D2 school?
No.
You don't think so?
This is the same thing as the worst NFL team playing the best college team.
Nah, you think so?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody at that Division II.
I don't know.
You think these kids are still, the oldest are 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I mean, Providence Day is probably the best private school. And they lost to Weddington. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, if you throw those guys out against a D2 school, it's going to be a massacre.
Yeah.
Derek, who was the most impressive Raven Gap player for you?
I liked the quarterback. Maybe that's just me being an offensive guy, but he looked the part. He was fluid. I mean,
he was 18 of 26 for 192 yards and only 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he did. There were some throws that he missed, and you know, I think he'll be honest with himself in saying that he should make those throws. But, you know, it's a whole body of work, and when you throw 5 touchdowns, I think he probably had a pretty good game.
And his offers, just to throw them out there, you've got Boston College, Kentucky. There's a whole slew of them. I mean, you've got Virginia Tech, Maryland, Charlotte, Arkansas State. I mean, the list goes on and on. So,
and then you look at their offensive line as a whole too. I mean, they had 5 across the board that could go on the other side of the ball and play for Christ School right now and play for any school in Western North Carolina right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they look different.
And that there were some Christ School players that were as big as some of the Raven Gap guys. And I think Griff had mentioned, it's like, the size is the first thing to match up with them, and then speed is the next. So it's like Raven Gap, they may have that 6'7", 330-pound guy, but he moves far, far quicker, far faster than some of the other guys. So the size wouldn't have blown your vision off, because Christ School's got some very, very big individuals as well. But it's just when these guys are moving, I think it was the defensive end 90, that was playing late in the third quarter, and he's 6'5", 220 listed, and it's like he's got all these Division I offers, and it's like he's playing when it's the 44-point game.
The other piece, the third piece, is depth, because a lot of Christ School's guys playing both ways.
Yeah.
We're more like a 2A team in the fact that we play a lot of guys both ways.
Yeah, and it gets tough late in games.
It does. So next up.
Oh, no, wait. There was one other big highlight from this game.
Okay, what you got?
If you guys ever get the chance to go experience the tailgate at Christ School, Mike can cook, you guys. I'm here to tell you.
That was the
fried rice,
sure.
The beef, the chicken. Holy cow.
He's talented.
Amazing.
We did have tacos, chicken and beef, fried rice.
Oh,
yeah, it was good.
Yes, with the yum-yum sauce, too. Goodness, yeah. It was good.
Me not being there, the greatest thing that resulted from the tailgate was the text messages that people don't remember sending.
That wasn't me.
There's also, I mean, it's a full tailgate. It's, imagine whatever tailgate you've experienced in college. This is very, very similar as to, there's no rules. This is not a normal, this is not a, the parking lot in Weaverville or AC Reynolds or anything like that. There is, I mean, there's officers there, there's officers around and whatnot, but this is a private school. So you, I mean, you can definitely bring drinks.
Indeed.
It's fun times. Fun times. So next up, Brevard at Knoxville Catholic. Knoxville Catholic gets the win 19-14. I think that might have been a little bit closer than some of us thought. Mike and Pat got this one correct. For Brevard, Kessinger 12 of 18 for 93 yards. As a team, they rushed for 144. No players over 32 yards rushing, but as a team, nine of them rushed for 144. So, tough game for Brevard, but they hung in there.
Yeah, they did. I think that's a, you know, Lewis was talking earlier about moral victories. I think anytime you go over there and you compete with those guys, I think you can come out of it saying, man, you're a pretty good team. And, you know, they made a believer out of me. And Brevard may be, you know, one of the top two teams in Western North Carolina as a whole.
Well, Brevard's student account commented on some of our stuff.
The Barstool account.
They said it was going to be a bloodbath or a massacre. No. Or
they were going to
get
they're
slaughtered.
Cooked. Yeah, they were cooked.
They were cooked, which is a term, I guess, that's in right now for the high schoolers. But they were cooked. And that score is not a score that,
no, they didn't
that's
get
not
cooked.
Getting cooked.
No, it was looked like a real good game.
Yes.
It's funny because sometimes I have to text Carson and ask him what stuff means. I'm that old. Like, what does that mean?
Jeez.
Yes.
Pat has to as well.
I do, yes. The buns one was interesting.
And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah. How did you get there from that? That was a great question.
Have y'all
question,
noticed Pat
I
started
no
using
idea.
Emojis more?
Yes, he has.
What
yes.
is it? I mean, it's like... Is Charlie texting
from
Pat's phone?
Charlie's doing that, yeah.
I'm picking it up.
Such an interesting winky face to send four dudes as well.
Indeed.
Why
the winky face
that?
With the tongue out. Yeah. Every listener knows exactly what we're talking
something
about.
Something about an eggplant. I don't know. It's weird.
So next up, this is another real close one. Irwin at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage was giving up 12.5 here. They do get the win 32-27, but do not cover. Pat and Mike got this one right. Irwin, a pretty good team. We do have a clip to play from this one real quick. But I think Irwin wins. I think Irwin I don't think Irwin just covers. Irwin's shocking some people this week.
I think so.
And they're winning.
I'm with you.
I'm taking Irwin. I wasn't correct.
No, you were not.
But they did cover. So congratulations to Irwin. They have another big game this week. They have probably one of the top three toughest schedules, non-conference schedules in our area.
I think they're really going to like that and appreciate it when it comes to conference time. I think these games are really, there's been so much buzz about Mountain Heritage, and you know, they're just this is going to be their state championship year. Irwin's playing Brevard, who we've already talked about. What I've taken from Irwin's start to the season, and this week will be another great test for them, but Irwin's here to play some football this year.
Do you have the Mountain Heritage running back, or is it quarterback?
Quarterback,
stats?
Yeah. Brady Quinn from Mountain Heritage looked like a problem. That he was 4 for 7 passing with 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. But he looked like he did the majority of his workload was carrying the ball. 27 carries, 207 yards, 2 touchdowns as well.
Wow.
So
do you think Irwin's problem is probably still defense?
It appears that it is going to be defense, and it could be you know, stopping the run and whatnot.
A physical run game, you know, is going to be an issue for them. But, you know, the quarterback seems to be keeping them in it. And if that lefty can sling it around the yard and keep them in games late in the fourth quarter, you know, they may put a drive together at the end to win one of those close ones.
Good teams win, great teams cover. So Irwin was a great team this week. And we've established that. That is the rule. Good teams win, great teams cover.
I'm with you.
So you're going to pick Irwin this week?
I can't wait to talk about their game.
I didn't say that.
So next up, TC at East Rutherfordton. We have a clip on this one, if you don't mind to play it.
Whoever set this line did a fantastic job.
That's what Derek said. Whoever set this line did a fantastic job. TC was given 35.5. Final score, TC 40, East Rutherfordton 32.
Not a great line. A lot closer than the experts thought there on Friday night. But East Rutherford obviously much improved from last year and gave Robertson some fits.
So East Rutherford, I cannot say that.
Yeah, it's just East Rutherford. There's no ton on the end.
East Rutherford. So they had 77 yards rushing, 172 yards. I'm sorry, 77 yards passing, 172 yards rushing. No stats up yet. Some of the schools behind. It's a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Lewis and Mike got this one correct. Derek did not because he thought it was a fantastic
no, definitely not. Definitely not.
You know, it's interesting that it's wild that Robertson gave up that many points.
Yeah.
That's my big question.
One of their strengths was defense last year.
That's all we've heard all summer was, you know, Robertson's defense is going to keep them in these games. And then, you know, you give up 32 to East Rutherford. Not ideal.
No.
It makes you wonder, is East Rutherford that much better? Or is TC down a little? I mean, we won't know for a little while.
We'll know for a little bit.
We might know come week four when Reynolds plays Watauga, see what that looks like. That might tell us a little
That'll be the first really comparable.
So Asheville Providence Day did not play. Lightning canceled their game. I think Asheville was already down there. Is that right?
They were down there.
And I guess Lightning canceled it. They came home, did not go back to reschedule.
The video you sent of the weather that they were sitting there waiting out, you expected to see Dorothy and Toto going around in the tornado and flying by.
There's a lot of football games in North Carolina being played today. There was one at 11. There's some at 6, some at 7. So a lot of the folks down the mountain beyond had some really bad weather on Friday.
Talk about, you know, last week with the Sunday game. I mean, having a game on Monday, that's going to be a tough turnaround.
It didn't affect Raven Gap.
Yeah.
Did not, no.
So last up, Reynolds and Shelby had a two-day affair. No spread on this one. It was a pick 'em. Reynolds scores the final 24 points on Saturday after starting on Friday and wins 51-24. We got a quick clip on this one.
The team you probably don't want to face when you're having offensive struggles is Shelby.
Yes, you don't want to face Shelby. Reynolds put up 51.
Might have got that one wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so Reynolds wins 51-21. Quarterback Eli Hamrick was 10 of 19 for 286 yards and two TDs. He also rushed it 8 times for 66 yards. Max Guest only 12 carries for 63 yards and two TDs. Wide receiver Cavalli Montgomery had 3 catches for 182 yards and two TDs. That's doing the most with your 3 catches, 182 yards. And then Zach Dickey had 2 interceptions for the Rockets. Shelby was held to 18 yards rushing, so the defense played pretty well as well.
Yeah, sounds good. Anytime you win the turnover battle, you know, I think one of those picks may have been, you know, a pick 6 that I think they got early. But anytime you win the turnover battle, it sets yourself up for a great chance to win a ball game, especially on the road. You know, you hate that you got to go back on Saturday. It makes for a awkward way to start the second half, but sounds like Reynolds, you know, got things rolling late and a lot of yards after catch for Mr. Cavalli from what I saw on the internet. So.
Me too. And you would think, my thoughts were when we saw that they were having a long break, you know, maybe Shelby makes some defensive adjustments, and maybe they did, but Reynolds made some better offensive adjustments. So this game, we had some concerns after Reynolds loses to West Forsyth. They smoke Shelby. I mean, they the real deal? What we got here, Pat?
Well, I do know that Coach Morgan watches an insane amount of film. I don't know how he does it, but, I'm sure that once they had that rain out, he had been able to go back and look a little bit of that film. I doubt he slept that night before they went in there and did it. So it was good to see them get it together on offense. And then, Coach Craig was able to put together a defense, guys. You know, it looks like he's getting those gaps that he lost to graduation filled pretty nicely, just like he usually does. So good for him.
Indeed. So let's talk a little bit. We have the high school overtime, the North Carolina rankings for the 828 area code. So 828, of course, goes Hickory to – how far does 828 go? Does it go to the state line? I think it does.
Yeah, it's all the way west.
Yeah. All the way west. So number one, Hickory, no surprise here. They returned a bunch of players. They are a fantastic football team. Number two, Watauga. 3, Reynolds. 4, Asheville. Those two flipped this week. Christ School, 5. Brevard, 6. Mount Heritage, 7. West Henderson, 8. Asheville School, 9. TC, 10. Bunker Hill Chili, 11. Maiden, 12. Franklin, 13. East Rutherford, 14. And then Freedom, 15.
And I don't know, but is anybody going to be able to take out Hickory as a 3A champ again this year with what they brought back?
No, I don't think so.
I don't see it.
Injuries are the only thing that can stop those guys in this half of the state.
Yeah, they've got weapons. Quarterback came back. Receivers came back. Big-time college athletes on that team. A lot of confidence. You'd have to imagine they're probably one of the most confident teams around. I'd say that things are probably buzzing in Hickory right now.
I agree. So you guys ready to talk about this week?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Carson, get ready.
I guess before we get to that, let's talk about our player of the week. You know, generally we try to choose a player that we cover that really has the best performance. This week, we're going to give it to the Rosman Tigers. Those guys didn't come away with the win, but went out there and battled to honor those two young men that lost their lives last week. And hats off to those guys.
It's got to be a tough week, right?
Absolutely. I saw they had an orange out and some fundraisers, and it looked like the community really came out and supported that team, and you like to see that.
Absolutely.
So now let's get into next week. So we'll start the week with the Christ School AC Flora game. Both teams 1-1, AC Flora out of Columbia. They beat Westwood 42-6 and lost to Chapin 62-21. Derek, are you a big Chapin fan?
I'm not. I did do a little bit of research. I saw Chapin was like top 40 in the state of South Carolina. So I think they beat Catawba Ridge the week before, and that's a fairly new school down around the Rock Hill area. I think they're pretty good.
So they're in the 4A Region 3, and they're led by their quarterback, Wetzke. He's thrown for 382 yards and 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this year. Looking at their stats, it looks like they want to throw the ball first. So, Carson, you want to start us off here?
Yeah. I'd like to go last, but...
Well, you can go last.
I'll go last.
This is a pick'em.
I've got insider information.
No spread here. Not a lot of information that we can formulate a spread. I watched the film. We'll see. Lewis, you want to go first?
I'm going to go Christ School on this one. I think Christ School, they've been building for a couple years. And after a few pretty tough games, and after last week, they're going to get a bounce back here and handle AL over there, AC.
I should have let off. They're playing AC Flora. All right, go ahead, Derek.
Well, the last two times I've picked Christ School, and they've burned me both times.
Me too.
So, last week, obviously a tough week for the Greenies, but it's going to be tough again this week, going all the way down to Columbia. Give me AC Flora.
Pat?
Well, I've seen the Greenies now play when I went out Friday night, and I'm Homer for Western North Carolina. I don't know anything about
AC Flora. You said that last week and then picked Raven Gap.
Well, I'm...
Just saying.
Well, they are in Western North Carolina, so
they're not.
They're in Georgia.
They're in Georgia.
They're right there down that line by Clayton and Franklin, right in between there.
Oh gosh, but Pat, you're great at geography.
That school is right between the town of Clayton and Franklin, right on the line. Come right down out of Highlands, straight
in
down
Georgia.
And you land basically right at that school.
He said you land.
We don't have a plane.
Yeah. Well, you're coming down the mountain from Highlands. Anyway.
Every time he flies down there.
I'm going to go with Christ School. I think that they're playing against Raven Gap. Obviously, they played the NFL last year in the first 5 games. So I think that to whoever just said at the point they've been building now for a couple of years, I'd like to see Christ School get the win here and get something going.
I'm going to pick Christ School as well. Hopefully this is a bounce back game. We'll see. Carson, give us your insider information.
Like I said, talk to a coach who's on Chapin. So it could be very biased, but Christ School handles AC Flora this week.
Well, that's not the insider information I thought you had, but
no,
okay.
They will not win a region game this year. Now, their region is going to be tougher, but they will not win a region game this year. So AC Flora is very, very weak, he said. I would kind of explain what Christ School has, their numbers, some of their strengths, some of their weaknesses, and he's like, they'll handle Flora very easily. So that could be clickbait.
I watched some film. It didn't look that way, but we'll see.
Now,
we'll
Carson, too, you shared with me a couple of Mortal Lock picks for college football this week. One of those was NC State. So your inside information didn't bear out on
could
that
not
one.
Be. Yeah, could not be. And Eastern Kentucky didn't do it for us either.
No, they didn't.
No. My thing is, I can lose, but when I bring others into the losing, that's when it hurts.
Is that the time you took me to the blackjack table and I was done in 12 minutes? Yeah.
My favorite thing.
All right, next game.
Hold on, my favorite thing, we were at the tavern. And Brendan was like, I got this insider information. We're going to really handle, we're going to stack up this week pretty good.
Yeah.
Not true.
Did not happen.
Not true.
No. And it was so fun watching the game with Brendan that night because he knows the players. He knows all the story now. Yeah. So he's just watching it in his head and he just keeps slouching down the couch and he's like, oh, this is just embarrassing. I'm sure they're at practice right now. I would not be surprised. That's a bit of a brutal practice.
Probably
today.
Not good. Oof. Yeah.
So.
Sorry.
No worries. So next up, we have McDowell at Tuscola. McDowell 0-2, Tuscola 1-1. McDowell's getting 25 points here. Last year, Tuscola took care of McDowell 44-22. McDowell led by quarterback Caleb Cook and a host of running backs, not one that really stood out, but three or four or five that got the ball on a regular basis. For Tuscola, they're led by former Rocket quarterback Jet Barley. He served for 225 yards and three TDs. Wide receiver Bo West, and on defense, Cooper Williamson, who's had 10 tackles. So, Derek, who are you thinking here? Are you taking McDowell or Tuscola?
Yeah, I had the chance to go watch Tuscola week one, and obviously they were overmatched by what Asheville High had. And I like McDowell here. I think the ground game by committee goes down and gets the win for them.
Do they get the win or cover?
Excuse me.
They're covering. Carson?
I got McDowell as well. I think 25.5 is going to be too many. I just don't think Tuscola is still unsure if they're going to be able to just completely stop that run. So I think with what Asheville is able to do to them, I'm just not sure that 26 points doesn't seem. Tuscola, obviously, I'm picking McDowell to cover.
Pat?
Yeah, I too. I don't think Tuscola is going to be able to get this by 25.5. So I'm taking McDowell on the points. I think we brought it up on prior podcasts. Tuscola still trying to find its way a little bit, obviously hoping that Jet does very well at quarterback. But Jed West, as we saw last year in that Pisgah game, that was an incredible offensive player, and he's not there. So
I think Tuscola wins and covers here. I'm taking Tuscola. I think they just got too much for a McDowell team that struggled for a lot of years.
This is why I'm so glad I'm going last, because I'm glad you broke that curse there. But I'm going to go ahead and pick McDowell. I also think 25 or 26 points is too much for them to cover. They're not as good as they were last year. And I think the Simmons is still weighing a little too heavy on last year's.
I agree. Yeah. I think we've seen that with some of the West Henderson spreads.
All right, next up, speaking of West Henderson – Murphy 1-1 at West Henderson 2-0. They did not play last year. Murphy lost to Franklin 33-13 and beat Heard County, which is in Georgia, 29-27. Like I said, West Henderson is giving up 29 points here. Pat, who you think?
I got West Henderson. They're going to be able to get this done. He'd be able to easily cover the 29.5 points.
You saw Murphy play the Rockets, right?
I did. I think that West Henderson's got. They've got enough to do this and get this done.
Derek?
Yeah, I disagree with Pat. I think Murphy's a gritty team. They're going to be able to stop the run and make West Henderson do something that they're not comfortable with, and that's throwing without Truitt out wide. So give me Murphy to cover.
Lewis?
I'm going to go with West Henderson on this one. I also agree with Pat. I think they have the athletes to get on the outside of Murphy and, when you get outside that box with Murphy, I think they're very vulnerable. So
I'm on the fence on this one. So Carson, why don't you go and I'll just pick opposite.
I'm gonna take the points and go with Murphy. I just think that the clock. Hopefully, they stay on the ground and eat some clock and whatnot. So with that being said, Mike will go with Wes Henderson and we'll get the pick right.
That makes me feel so good about my pick. Thank you.
Makes me feel really bad about
it. Derek, dang.
Oh, man.
You got to do me like that.
Hey, we'll pick up a game somewhere, Carson. We'll be all right.
All right.
So next up, 1-1 North Buncombe at 0-2 Madison. Madison's getting 17 points here. Last year, North Buncombe wins 22-6. North Buncombe lost to East Henderson 28-22 and beat Owen 32-12. They're led by their running back, Kingston Dennison. Madison lost to East 42-0, lost to Polk 30-0. Not only have they not scored a touchdown yet, gentlemen, they have yet to score. Like I said, they're getting 17. Carson, what do you think?
I'm going to go with North Buncombe covering the 17.5 points. I think Madison is that bad. They've not scored a point this season.
They have not scored a point this season.
So if everything holds true, North Buncombe has to score 18 points. I've got North Buncombe covering, and a lot of hopefully, you know, this could be their last win of the season. So
It gets a lot tougher from here.
So I think you have to go out this game with a lot. I think you try and it's the rivalry game. I think they're gonna if they can get 40, they're gonna try and get 40.
Yeah, I think you could almost double that to 34, and I would still pick North Buncombe.
Derek,
I gotta agree. It's gonna be hard to cover when you haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks. So I gotta go with North Buncombe. But it, you know, it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen, and those two don't like each other very much. So.
Pat, you taking Madison?
I am going to go the other way, gentlemen. It is
not the first time.
You've been doing that a lot.
Agony, absolute agony. I'm going to go with Madison at home here, even though they haven't scored a touchdown. They may not score, but I don't think they're going to lose by 17. So that's where I'm at with that.
I'm taking North Buncombe because I think they will cover here. They got a pretty good running game, and I think they'll be able to win. So next up, we have Owen. Owen 2. At North Henderson, 1-1. This is a 41-point spread. This is a lot of points. North Henderson lost to Hendersonville 20-7, and then dropped the hammer on Rosman last week, 44-0. They have not put any stats out. Owen, 0-2, like I said, they lost to Inca 48-8 and lost to North Buncombe 32-12. Owen getting 41, no stats online for Owen either. Pat, you want to lead us off?
I like that Mr. Faircloth is getting something done over there. I don't think that Owen's going to win, although I am pulling for them. But I don't think that they're going to be blown out by more than 41 points. So I'm going to go with Owen and the points.
I'm also going to take Owen and the points. I think they could stay within 41. North Henderson lost a lot from last year. That's who I'm taking. Derek?
Yeah, I got to go with Owen as well. 41's a lot to cover. I think when Owen shortens a game and they run the football, if they can get their offense going and just grind that clock, I think they stay within an arm's reach.
Carson?
Yeah, it's lock of the week is Owen covering here. They're 41.5 points.
Lewis,
way, way too many.
Carson, so, could you not have picked North here, please?
Lewis, are you taking North? You got to break the curse so your team will win, right?
Lock of the week.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pick Owen.
Yeah, let's go. Of course he's going to pick Owen. Yes.
But I think, you know, Owen, I mean, Lewis, I do think that you're in a great, great spot with this year because you guys have mentioned, and Coach mentioned it, it's not going to be built in a day. And so it's like you said, it's keeping the team together because the early stages of it are not easy. That's
exactly true. And what's the Lions head coach?
Dan Campbell.
If you've watched any of his stuff that's put out there where he's like crying and doing all, you know, going like just really boosting his guys up, Faircloth's the exact same way. Like, this is a dude that's not quitting. He's going after it. And I mean, he really cares about these kids. And the kids are really seeing that. Like, when you go through the coaching changes that these seniors have seen, and your senior son says, "Hey, I really believe in this guy." I mean, that tells you something, right?
That's awesome. So yeah, that's all you can hope for.
He's building something out there. Hopefully, you know, it comes to fruition out there.
So next up, Asheville at Lake Norman. Both teams 1-0. Of course, Asheville didn't play last week. They beat Tuscola 42-6, and they're led by Josh Ellis, who had a fantastic game in week one, and Meek Slidell at quarterback. For Lake Norman, currently they're in a suspended game. They're losing 14-7 to Statesville in the first quarter, and they'll resume at 6 p.m. on Monday, which by the time you guys hear this, that will be over, but we recorded on Monday afternoon. They beat Alexander Citrall 36-21, where they had 233 yards rushing and 136 yards passing. Like I said, Asheville getting 22 points here at Lake Norman. Lewis, what you think?
I'm going to go with Asheville on this. I think they can. I think they'll not win the game, but they'll keep it within 22.
Carson?
I'm going to go...
You have to pick against Asheville every week.
I do. I do. So with that being said, I'm going to go with Lake Norman minus 22.5.
There you go.
And keep the good vibes going to my boys' way. I think...
Now, hold on a minute. I do have to say something. Like, what? They're your boys. Did they ever give you tickets at the gate?
Did they let you in free or anything?
No, that is crazy. We won't be having a conversation about that. Because the fact that I paid to go to their games last year.
Yeah, and someone else doesn't have to.
Two. And Derek Green, who's new to the
show. I wasn't going to throw his name out there, but you did.
Go ahead. Derek Green,
new to the show. I mean, doesn't even cover them last year.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here covering. I was in the foxhole with them.
That's my boys.
That's what we heard. Damn. That's my boys.
Yeah,
catching ricochets over here. Yeah, boys.
And Derek just comes in, and next thing you know, he's getting pass lists to all the games in Western North Carolina.
Hey, look, maybe they're looking for some help. You know,
did you get some credit for the concession stand too?
For the
Cougar game?
We've not asked. I did not. We've not asked Derek. Did he watch the game in the press box with the coaches, or was he?
If they had listened to the old man that was sitting next to me, he should have been on the sideline. But I did watch it by myself in the top right-hand corner of the box.
I'll go with Lake Norman covering.
Pat?
So I'm going to go with Asheville, and for the simple reason is this. Asheville and Providence Day did not play, so Asheville did not get beat up on too bad. I didn't get beat up on at all. So they're fresh. And then you just brought it up, Mike. Lake Norman's playing later today. And then they got to turn around and get ready for Asheville on a short week, basically. So
I used to think that was a big deal. Go ahead there.
But yeah, I think, Pat, you have some great points there. A short week for Lake Norman. I really like Asheville to go down the mountain and potentially this is a winnable game for them. You know, the
is
spread,
this the upset alert for Derek?
You know, this may be my dog of the week. And you know, that's a tough break because the last one that I've had didn't turn out so well. I think it was like a 40-point blowout.
Indeed it was.
But you know, it's a chance for Asheville to go down and show what they're made of. And it sounds like, you know, Lake Norman relies heavily on the rush. And I like the little Hillier kid playing the Mike linebacker for Asheville. He's a baller and a little bulldog that's going to go around and wreak some havoc down there. Give me Asheville to cover and win outright.
I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to go with Carson, and I'm taking Lake Norman because I think they win. I think they got too much for Asheville. So next up, to me, this is a very interesting game, and this is Smoky Mountain 2-0 at TC 1-1. Smoky Mountain, new coach this year. JT Postel, he was the Tuscola coach in 2018, and in 2020 went to East Gaston High School. He's back in Western North Carolina with first-year coach at Smoky Mountain. They beat Cherokee 34-21. They beat Swain 21-0. Against Cherokee, running back Aiden Johnson had 25 carries for 283 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's a pretty decent game. And the other running back, Jarek Jones, had 13 carries for 137 yards and a touchdown. TC lost to Watauga and then beat East Rutherford by eight last week. So Smoky Mountain getting 24 here, Derek. What do you think?
This is another tough one. Whoever set this line, you know, that you can clip that one too.
Whoever set this line did a fantastic job.
This is an identity game for both teams. I think we're going to find out a lot about Robertson, and we're going to find out a lot about Smoky Mountain. If this is a close game, you know, Coach Postel's definitely got them going in the right direction. And if Robertson's able to blow them out, which they should be able to if they want to compete at the level that they want to compete at. And I think they do it. I think Robertson covers here. They went outright, covered the 24.5. I like Robertson big.
And I should have said this sooner. TC won last year 35-7. I think that matters, but I thought I would share that. Carson, what you got?
I got Smoky Mountain with the cover.
Lewis?
I agree with Derek. I think TC can win this hands down, and I think TC's going to – I've planted my flag on that hill already, so I'm going TC.
How do you feel after last week's game?
Oof. So it's tough, right? But that's what these first 4 weeks are about every year. So
yeah, I like it.
For me, if you had asked me last week, I would have said TC covers this for sure. But the close game with East Rutherford – however you say it.
Rough town.
Whatever, rough town. I'm taking Smoky Mountain. I think I'm not sure they win, but I do think they cover.
I echo Mike there quite a bit. I would have done the same thing Mike said if it had been last week, I think. But the point that Derek brought up last week with his wonderful clip about that spread being so tough and then TC wind up getting fits from East Rutherford, I think TC still gets the win, but I don't think they're going to cover it. So I'm going Smoky Mountain.
So next up, probably for me, maybe the most exciting game of the week. And this is Irwin, 1-1, headed to Brevard to take on Brevard, also 1-1. Irwin's getting 12 here. They beat Daniel Boone in week one, 56-0, and then lost a nail-biter to Mount Heritage, 32-27. Brevard beat Pisgah 35-0, lost to a private school out of Knoxville, Tennessee, Knoxville Catholic, 19-14. Last year, Brevard wins this game 34-14. Derek, does Irwin cover the 12? Does Brevard cover the 12, or does Irwin get the win?
I think Brevard covers. I really, you know, last week's score was a shocker for me, and I think that they ride that momentum. Even though they didn't get the win, you know, you think you travel all the way to Knoxville and compete with a big private school out of East Tennessee. I think they ride that momentum into this week and cover the 12.
Pat?
I'm still on the Irwin train here, guys. They represented very well up there against Mountain Heritage. And I'm not saying that they'll necessarily win, although I think they got a chance to. I think that there's no way they're going to lose by more than 12.
Listen to last week's show. Did you know that Pat's an engineer?
Yeah.
Because he was getting on the train with every team. I'm going to get on the Irwin train.
I think it's because you made me get on the train car there in Andrews.
And we pedaled up the hill.
Well, you pedaled. I got to ride in the fat guy's
train,
car.
He rode a train with Mike.
So, Lewis, what do you think here?
I'm going to get on Pat's train as well and go with Irwin here.
I don't want you on my train.
Carson?
I just envision Lewis getting on Pat's train, and I'm going to throw up. I'm going to not get on that train, and I'm going to get on the Brevard train. I think Brevard takes their momentum from last week, although I think Irwin is showing us each week that they've got a very good football team. Brevard's game against Pisgah still stands out to me. 35-0 is just, that's not even a game. That is, yeah. So, yeah, I've got Brevard here.
I'm taking Irwin. I think they win this game. I think they upset Brevard and get the win. They're a little different this year than they have been in the past couple. So next up, East Forsyth at Reynolds. Reynolds getting 12 points here. Of course, they lost to West Forsyth 19-13 in week one and then blew out Shelby this week 51-21. East Forsyth beat Heritage 44-0 week one and then beat Jack Britt 56-12 in week two. I don't know what Jack did, but he got a beat down. Last year, East Forsyth won this game 27-21. Pat, you want to go first?
I'll go first on this one. So I think that before the Shelby game, I was actually going to have to pick against ACR for the first time.
Bull crap. That would never happen.
And now after the Shelby game, I'm gonna stick with the ACR here because I think the defense is starting to show up and settle in really nicely. And I believe that I haven't watched it yet, but based on the statistics that you shared with the game, Mr. Hamrick is starting to settle in a little bit. Obviously, he's turning some of those receivers into some long touchdowns, and then he's got Max Guest a little bit more action out there, and I think that they're going to be able to at least cover. I'd like to see him win, obviously, but they're gonna. I'm going to go with ACR with their 12 points.
Anybody know anything about Heritage or Jack Britt? Derek?
Jack Britt used to be good back in the day. I think Reynolds won a state championship against them. You know, not one of the 99 or 02 ones. I think they're very down. I think they're Fayetteville area. I think they are down. Other than that, I don't know a whole lot.
All right, Derek, who you think wins the game?
I think East Forsyth wins. They've got a ton of talent. The quarterback I think is a North Carolina guy or North Carolina State. I can't remember which one, but I think East Forsyth just has too much talent. I think they win outright, and I do think that they cover the 12. I think there's too much talent in the trenches on both sides of the ball for Reynolds to cover here.
Lewis?
Let me go last.
I'm going to take East Forsyth. I think they, like Derek, I think they have way too much firepower. You know, they're one of the top teams in the state, and I think they come away with the win here and win by more than 2 touchdowns. Carson.
I'm going to go with East Forsyth as well. They've Bryce Baker, their four-star quarterbacks, fifth-ranked quarterback in the state, 11th-ranked quarterback.
Is he a Carolina guy?
Yeah, he is a Carolina guy.
Awesome.
State was in there, but he did pick the right school.
A little flip.
He might flip later.
He very well could. But no, I think that they're just going to have a little too much for him, although nothing will surprise me right now with this Reynolds team, because week one, we had so many question marks. Week two, they throw a 50-burger up. And then Coach Craig, this will probably be their toughest test for their defense. But that means their offense should have a lot of confidence, can show up and, you know.
Yeah, if this game is close, look out, boys. Because yes, Reynolds has flipped the switch and found, you know, the keys. But, you know, like I said, I don't foresee it, but it could happen.
The fact that it's in Reynoldstown, does that help?
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
For sure. I guess it was 19, East Forsyth came to Reynolds for the first time, and you had kids from East Forsyth like just taking pictures of everything. And it was the wildest thing. And I was talking to one of their coaches, and he says, yeah, man, he said, most of our kids have never been outside of Forsyth County. And so it was wild to see the appreciation that they had for Reynolds Stadium, and it's definitely the aura, as the kids are saying nowadays, at ACR is still there.
The backdrop of the mountains and everything, it's a beautiful place to play.
It is a beautiful scenery.
Yeah. All right, you're left.
Well, I think ACR is the best team ever. They have the best coaching staff. Their players make no mistakes possible, and for the first time ever, I'm going to pick ACR.
Wow. Lewis just took Reynolds.
That's like incredible. The candle, boys.
Oh, my God. He looks like he's about to cry. Oh, my God.
Way to go, Lewis.
What did it for you, Lewis? Was it that
I picked East Forsyth and you were like, I've got to win this pick?
You know, so for every time that I've lost because I picked against them, I'm going to pick them from now on.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
That's why I bet on state to cover, because it's if they win, Lewis, that is great. Wow. This is gross.
Hopefully the curse happens, but, you know.
If not, you'll be happy and you'll have a lot of wins.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anything you guys want to talk about coming up this week that we didn't cover?
Well, I mean, kickoff for NFL.
Yeah, NFL. It's Thursday, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. You guys betting on the NFL too?
Sure.
Are you?
Yeah. It's fixed, man.
It's fixed too. I stop at college level.
Yeah.
I don't bet on NFL.
I don't either.
Yeah, same.
Derek, who's your bookie?
I don't have one.
Wait, you're not putting any money down?
No, I stopped. I got like the little $5 free wager thing, and then I ended up losing, which as you can tell from my picks on here, I'm not too good at picking against the spread.
It makes you wonder how much money Carson's lost over time.
Well, you know, he's when you go 1-8.
He's looking down at the ground, like thinking about all the money he's lost.
Carson just cried a little.
That's an alarming number.
I hope Whitney doesn't listen.
No, she cannot listen to that part, or we'll cut it.
Hey, who sent that clip out of that story out about the tie? Or there was a team that got a touchdown but didn't kick the extra point because it would have.
Missouri.
What was that?
Was it Missouri?
I don't know.
Was a team that didn't.
It would have pushed the over. Also, it would have pushed the over, it would have gone to the over and pushed on the spread or whatever it was.
And they decided not to kick.
They chose not to.
Wow. Yeah, because it didn't matter.
Do you think that coach is like a heartbreaker?
I'll just tell you this. I 100% believe that the coaches know what the lines are.
Oh, absolutely.
It has been – so one thing listeners be wary of, okay? This is for –
This is like another clip moment getting ready to happen.
No, it's these coaches. Do you know who – so James Franklin from Penn State, okay? Last year he pulled a fake knee and threw a touchdown to backdoor cover against Northwestern. I think these coaches are aware that they have a lot of big boosters. And now I'm done.
There's definitely some local coaches that know the over-under on some of these scores. That's for sure.
I don't think they care. I don't think they care.
I think in college they do. I do not think they do in high school.
Yeah, I think college.
Agreed.
There might be one team.
So, Pat, do you happen to have a fun question?
I do. I was struggling trying to come up with one. I was in my office going over all of my research and studying to get all my picks right this week, and I noticed there was my daughter's classical guitar sitting in the corner of the office with dust all over it.
And, wait, you have a daughter?
I do. A daughter named Charlie. She's awesome. Anyway, she was a wonderful classical guitarist when she was younger, but gave it up, unfortunately. But anyway, that made me think, hey, wait a minute. I liked playing guitar when I was a kid and gave it up, and I wished I hadn't. What musical instruments do you guys play or would like to learn how to play?
Lewis, go ahead.
I've always wanted to learn to play the piano.
Yeah.
Probably never going to happen because I can't carry a tune. So who knows, though? It would be cool if I could play the piano.
Piano?
Derek, can you play anything?
I cannot. My musical acumen stops at the recorder in the fourth grade.
Yes.
So I can play hot cross buns on the recorder. At least I used to be able to. Probably not anymore. Buns. Yeah, hot sing it. Go ahead.
Whoever did the recorder thing in school is a genius, but every parent hates them.
Oh
yeah. I can only imagine the migraines that I gave my parents.
You're getting ready to find
as
out.
As a fourth grader. Yeah. Lord help us all. But yeah. If I could play something, I would say definitely the guitar. Just because, you know, the musical genres that you can play on the guitar are very vast.
Acoustic, electric, bass.
Pat, I don't know the difference between all three of those, to be honest with you.
I can see Derek on the acoustic,
yeah.
Sitting in a lawn like at UNCA.
Yeah,
I can see Derek on the bass. On the bass.
The big, that's the big one, right?
That well, it's that four strings.
Okay. He kind of keeps the rhythm.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, it's the bass guitar. That's what I can't play any instruments, but I would love to play the bass guitar. Because those guys are the coolest guys on stage in a concert because they're just like chilling over there doing their own thing while everybody else is, you know, going nuts. So they're just chilling over there playing their bass. Carson, what about you?
A saxophone.
Ooh.
You and Bill together, Bill Clinton.
Is that what he plays?
Yeah.
He's too young to even probably know who Bill Clinton is.
Golly.
Yeah. I don't know he played that. But yeah, I think that would be very fun. No.
Well, we can get a band together now. We just need somebody on drums.
Pat, what about you?
I have guitar. I'd love to do guitar.
So we have everybody. So we've got plenty of guitar players.
Is there something else you would love to play?
I would also enjoy the piano, too, I think.
Yeah. That would be great. Cover. Yeah, that's a great choice.
But not the drums.
I think it'd be fun to play the mandolin.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, yeah. Do you guys know what the mandolin is?
Little bluegrass.
Yeah,
bluegrass.
Like it's almost like a tiny guitar. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that sounded just like one.
What is the Hawaiian instrument that they are? Ukulele.
Ukulele.
I can see Mike with the ukulele.
That would be awesome.
In a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Let's do it.
Can you imagine if we all got some instruments and just started firing them up while we were here on our microphones? That would just be a complete tire fire.
It would probably sound like my son Paxton trying to play the instruments.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen the video of Paxton turning pink...
The baseball.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He does have a swing on him for sure.
Yes. So in the gender reveal, he hits the ball. Of course, it's pink. Everybody's cheering. Well, Paxton's covered in like pink dust.
I thought it was going to be confetti. Whitney was in charge of that. I had no idea it was going to be powder. Like I thought it was going to be
powder
exploding in his face, in his eyes.
Poor kid. He was covered in pink from head to toe.
He did look shocked with it, right?
Yeah, he was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Did you tell him what was going to happen, or did you just throw it?
No, we just threw it. Like, we did a couple warm-ups.
Yeah,
warm-ups with another ball, and then when we got back from Florida, we tried to do it with Whitney's family, and when he saw the ball, it was PTSD. He would not do it. So we did not end up doing that with her parents.
Mm. Yeah, he's like, you crazy, Dad?
Well,
he'll never play baseball again. You ruined him.
Wait to leave half the family out, but go ahead.
That's good to be back with you guys.
Typical Carson.
Yeah.
Well, exciting games. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody going to a game this week? Where are you going, Lewis? Where y'all at?
We are at North Henderson.
What about the rest of y'all? Pat, you at home this week?
Yeah, we're at home. I got East Forsyth at Reynolds.
Derek?
I'm going to go down to Anderson, South Carolina, and watch Westside and T.L. Hanna. That's going to be a big rivalry game down there, and Westside's really good. They're the top-ranked team in South Carolina right now.
See, Derek's living the dream right now. He gets to go wherever he wants to.
Well, yeah, I mean, within reason, but yes.
I will be in Charlotte for a 30th birthday party. Friend of the show is getting, I was going to say getting married. He's having a birthday party. We're going down for the weekend. State in Tennessee will be... boots on the ground for the state Tennessee game.
They don't play till Saturday.
They don't.
All right.
And we're going to do, speaking of Charlotte, we've got to do the Top Golf thing, right? We're going to do a behind the beer Top Golf event. That'd be awesome.
There is one in Greenville too. So
Let's look closer.
Jump down downtown.
Yeah, Greenville.
Oh well,
so,
there you go.
So Mike used to be a big golfer. Are you going to be upset when Mike outdrives you? Like he puts it over the fence.
And Mike, if Mike outdrives me, I'll quit the show.
Flip it.
I used to crush the driver.
I'll quit the show.
That's a clip. That's a clip.
I'll quit the show.
If I had a driver, we'd go on the front porch and find out right now.
I don't have my clubs.
My clubs are in the car.
Oh, let's do it.
Oh, we got them. Let's see what happens. Let's see who can hit it into the next neighborhood.
I'm in. Let's go.
This is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Does that mean if Mike loses, he's got to quit the show?
No.
None of y'all are going to do all the homework. So. Yeah.
That's true. We need Mike.
Yeah, we do need that.
All right. Well, everyone, we appreciate it. Pat, wrap us up.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Next week, we'll go over it again as we build into the, I guess, the middle stages here. The high school football season at week 3's conclusion and week 4 upcoming. So until then, enjoy, and we'll catch up with you on the other side.